for almost 20 years, there were very few people who believed what we were working in the Word. Oh, we had a handful here and a handful there, but very few that ever believed the greatness of God's Word. It just seemed every time you would show them the greatness of God's Word, it'd freak them. Because we were so acclimatized to riding bicycles with crooked handlebars. I'm glad God straightened some of our handlebars out, aren't you? And you know what did it? The Word. That's right. Tonight I could not go any better place in the Word and share the Word with you in a more wonderful way than to take you to the greatest book of all times addressed to the church, the book of Ephesians. I have shown you previously in other teachings that the book of Acts is the fulcrum between the old and the new. It's really terrible that when they made the book like this called the Bible, they put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. They are not New Testament, they're Old Testament. They close out the book of Malachi. About 400 years, class, went by before John the Baptist and Jesus Christ came on the scene. And when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he came to Israel to fulfill the promises to Israel. When Jesus Christ sent out the 12, he sent them to the lost sheep of the house of what? You and I are not sheep. Praise God, we're no longer goats, that's for sure. But we're not sheep. We are sons of God, daughters of God, filled with the power of God. You're not sheep. You're sons and daughters of God. Sheep is Israel. When he sent out the 70, he sent the 70 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Corinthians says that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision. It says in the Word of God that had the adversary, the devil, known the mystery which was kept secret from before the overthrow or foundation of the world and was not revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Had the devil known this mystery, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He would rather have had him to live and keep talking to Israel than to have you. The devil would. That's right. Because you have Christ in you wherever you go, if you're born again. And if you were here last night and you didn't get born again, you got an awful road to hoe, I'll guarantee you that. Because I brought you so simply last night through God's Word that you got to be stupider than stupid not to get born again last night. That's right. The book of Acts is the fulcrum between the old and the new. The first book after the book of Acts is what, class? Romans. Romans is the great Magna Carta revelation of the freedom and the liberty wherewith we were set free through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the first great revelation to the body of believers. Then comes Corinthians. Corinthians corrects the practical error that crept into the church due to the failure of adhering to the revelation given in the book of Romans. If you do not live according... Will you bring me some Kleenex, Howard? At headquarters, I got a whole box of them. Over here, we have nothing. I don't know if it's hot down there, but it sure hotter than a firecracker up here, and I'd take it off if it wasn't for the fact this is closing night of Rock of Ages, and I got orders. I got to wear this thing. So... Yeah. If I take much more off, I'll be like the prodigal son. I'll come to myself. Well, I trust this doesn't invalidate God's word, okay? Well, when you fail to abide by the revelation given in God's word, you get off in arguments, and then you practice error. That's why Corinthians was written to correct error when it would creep in the church. Practical error. Now, after people practice error a while, then they make a doctrine out of it. That's how you got all your creeds. Galatians corrects the doctrinal error that crept into the church due to the failure of adhering to the revelation given in the book of Romans. After Galatians comes what? That's where we are tonight. Ephesians is the greatest revelation that has ever been given to the church. It begins where the book of Romans terminates. Philippians corrects the practical error that crept into the church due to failure of adhering to the revelation given in Ephesians. Then Colossians corrects the doctrinal error due to wrong practice, due to failure of adhering to the revelation in the book of Ephesians. Now you have one great church epistle left. It was the first one written. It's the last one in every critical and estringilo text in existence. All the Pauline epistles never buried in any text that I know of. They're all the same order. Because Thessalonians is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the last thing that's going to happen. The gathering together, the return of Christ. And that's the hope of the church, that it was written first so people could believe and keep walking in spite of everything, that they could stand. Looking at the hope of the return of Christ. That's why it was written first, but it stands last in the Pauline epistles, because it's the last thing that's going to happen to us. That's the gathering together, and what a day that will be. Paul. After that great revelation in Ephesians where God set forth that magna cum laude revelation, whatever it is. He finally closes the sixth chapter where I want to close this Rock of Ages with you tonight, my beloved people. Finally, my brethren, in verse 10, chapter 6. Be strong in VP Weirwill. Say it louder.
No!
That's right. Maybe many of you have heard the word through my ministry, but it is not I who died for you. I didn't die for you. I didn't save you. You said it, man. And you never go on the field and you say, well, Dr. Weirwill said this, Dr. Weirwill said that, because it doesn't make one hill of beans different what Dr. Weirwill says. What does the Word say? That's important. If I say what the Word says, that's great. If you say what the Word says, that's great. And the same Word of God that I have is your Word. Same Word. So we don't go around and say, oh, look at this twig leader, that limb leader. You look at the Word, baby. The Word. Right, not at the twig leader. Sure, we have respect. We have great respect for our leaders. Twig leaders, branch leaders, limb leaders, our power leaders, great respect. But it is the Word of God that we promote. It's the Word of God we hold forth. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what?
Lord.
Amen. And in the power of His what?
Might.
Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. How can anybody say they put on the whole armor of God when there are 9 manifestations and they don't even operate one? It's their problem. Not mine or yours. It says put on the whole armor of God, so what do? Put it on, that's right. Because Jesus Christ is party of the first part. He passes the orders. He gives the orders. When the Word of God says jump, we don't even ask how high. We just jump. When He said, I would you all spake in tongues, we just do what?
Yeah.
That's right. When He said, put on the whole armor, we just put it on. Now, if you're going to put it on, then it's your job. It's your job to put it on. It's God's job to put it in you. It's Christ where? Christ in. But putting on is Christ on. That's your job. Christ in is His job. That's the miracle of all miracles. That's right. Why do you want to put it on? That you may be able to what? Stand. There it is. That we can do one thing, what?
Stand.
It doesn't say lay down. Does it now?
No.
It says what?
Stand.
Having done all, then we stand. That ye may be able to stand. You cannot stand. You do not have that ability to stand until you put on the whole armor of God, people. Okay. Huh. You know, anybody can lay down. It takes a man of conviction, a woman of commitment to stand for God. Anybody, you know, can knuckle under. Try. But boy, to know enough of God and the Word of God and who you are with Christ in you to stand. Boy, when it says stand, it means stop. That's right. And you throw your shoulders back and your head up and you walk like a wonderful son of God. For it's Christ in what?
Yeah.
Therefore, wherever you stand walking, where is Christ? Right there, baby. Right there. Let's let him see Christ in 76 and 77 by our walk. By our stand as one body with one mind holding forth the greatness of God's wonderful matchless Word. Boy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means it's not a fight of one man against another. It's a spiritual fight. That just looks like Herman fighting you. It isn't Herman. It's the old devil in Herman. Get that old devil out of Herman, and Herman's a nice guy. So is Henry Beloco. And Maggie Muggins. And Johnny Jumper. And Snowball Pete. I'm glad you took a class on power of prayer by the living. Well, against spiritual wickedness in verse 12, from what? On high. From, you know, the heavenly. Wherefore, verse 13, on account of this is the literal translation of it. On account of this, because it's a spiritual warfare, you've got to take unto you the whole armor of what? Take it. You're not stealing it. Take it. That's one taking you can do without stealing. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to do what? That not only stand, but to do what? Withstand. Withstand. In verse 11 it said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here it says that you may be able to withstand. So that when we stand, it is axiomatic when we stand that we withstand. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, do what?
Stand.
Having done all, what?
Stand.
One of the texts reads, stand fast. Beautiful. Having done all, we just stand. Boy, people, thousands and thousands of times in my life I've come to that place. I've done just all I can. I've done it for you at this Rock of Ages this year. I've hardly had a minute free where I could just sit. Well, I don't think I've ever just sat and visited for the fun of visiting since I've been here. That's right. I've done all that I can do for my people here. I've just done everything I can do. And I know my frailties, my shortcomings. I know that I did not meet the need of every person here. I know that. And I'm truly sorry, but I can't do anymore. And therefore, having done my best, done all that I can, all I can do, I just what?
Stand.
Just stand, that's all. That's all you can do, people. Having done all, stand fast. Don't let anybody push you around. Nobody. Because it's God's matchless word that has made us what we are. It is God's matchless word that has brought us to the place where we are. And it's God's matchless word that's going to take us where we're going. That's right. Then it says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of hatred. Peace. And above all, listen to this, man. Above all, take the shield of believing. Faith, pistis, believing. The shield of believing, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all. What?
All.
And the word all means 99 and 44, 100. It means what?
All.
That's right. Most of us know that three-syllable or three-letter word, right? We got stupid, we can't read. It says all. Then by that shield of believing, and I know what to believe from what I'm entitled to from God's word, that shield of believing, with that shield I can quench, put out all the fiery darts of the what? He not only shoots darts, but he got fire on them. Boy, and some of us really been burned by him, haven't we? And we tired of it. That's right. So when our shield of believing is up there and Satan's fiery darts come, it's just like a bucket of water. He puts them out. And the shield, you know, there's no hurt to the believer. Wherewith you shall believe all the fiery darts. Then it says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of what? The sword you and I carry is not a physical sword wherewith we hurt men and cut their heads off. It's the sword of the Word of God. The Word of God is a sword. And the Word says in Hebrews that it's a sword that's sharp, two sides sharp. You know, sharp on both sides. It's a great sword, the Word. So if you take the Word, you cut them down coming this way, and when you bring them up, you cut them up. Spiritually with the Word, you get them coming and going. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication by way of the Spirit, and watching unto this with all perseverance and supplication concerning all the saints. So I pray in the Spirit for all the what? Our WOWs, I pray in the Spirit for the men and women like you, that many of you here that will be standing at home in your community. I pray for you in the Spirit. That's what the Word says. That's what I do. And now here's a word I'd like for you to remember. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's where my heart is tonight. That I may just boldly continue to make known the gospel. I understand tiredness, people. Sometimes I get so tired I wonder if I'm ever going to make it back to bed or something. But so what? I have not shed my blood yet for anybody's sin. What's a little tiredness? If I don't make it to bed, I can lay down halfway between. Wouldn't make any difference. Somebody's got to move the Word. Somebody's got to move it with all the strength, all the knowledge, all the ability that they can gel. Somebody's got to pay that price. That somebody's you. So. If that Word's going to move, we got to have somebody to do what? Move it. And I wish you would remember me in prayer as you go back to your respective responsibilities around the nation and brother and sister countries. There's no man living who needs more prayer than I. So please don't forget. Praying always with all prayer and supplication by way of the Spirit for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's how I'm going to send you forth out of this rock of ages, people, with the greatness of this revelation from Ephesians, to stand so that you can withstand, and that we lift one another in perfect prayer so that we make intercession or supplication concerning the saints, that's praying by the Spirit. And that those of us who are twig leaders, branch leaders, any type of leader, that utterance may be given unto us, that we may open our mouth boldly this year of 76 and 77. To make known the mystery of what? The gospel. And in order to do that, you're going to have to just take one day at a time, people. You can't do tomorrow today. And you can't do yesterday today. All you can do is today, today. One day at a time. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the greatness of your Word and your love and your goodness. Thank you for your divine blessing upon our life. Father, I'm real grateful for your people tonight, and I love them with the love wherewith you love me through Christ Jesus. And Father, I give every person in this tremendous audience here at the Rock of Ages this Sunday night in this August of 76 to you, Father. And as we separate and part to go our different ways across these, our United States and our brother and sister countries, may we walk so tall with the greatness of your word, Father, that the height of that greatness of the word will be like a great beacon, and we shall see one another walking in the greatness of that word. And therefore, Father, I thank you tonight for blessing your people with your word. And I thank you, Father, for giving me the health and the strength and the love to allow me to love your people with the love wherewith you love me. And Father, I thank you for teaching me too to just learn to take one day at a time.